I Hate Politics is a podcast about a human activity we love to hate. I'm Lorena Trevino, a Walter Johnson High School student of the Minority Scholars Program, sitting in for Sunil Dasgupta for this special Dr. Martin Luther King weekend episode. Montgomery County Public Schools has long struggled with anti-Black racism. Several schools have reported racist incidents this year and last, including the use of the N-word by students. In most cases, individually reporting these incidents leads to a lot of talk, study circles, and expressions of sympathy, but little action. Student behavior is seldom punished, and administrators have failed to set expectations that racism will not be tolerated. When reported, teachers have sidestepped over incidences, and administrators have ignored entreaties. I sat down with Timo Taiwo and Layla Kahneman of Wooten High School to talk about the problem and what can be done. Timo and Layla are both seniors, co-presidents of the Black Student Union at Wooten, as well as active members of the Minority Scholars Program, a student-driven movement aimed at tackling the opportunity gap and pushing for equity within our school communities. MSP, as it is more commonly known, has chapters in all 26 MCPS high schools, 30 middle schools, and 15 elementary schools.
I Hate Politics is brought to you by UMBC's Political Science Program, where you'll learn to shape public policy, impact communities, and function at the center of modern society. Learn more at shadygrove.umbc.edu.
I Hate Politics is a podcast about our neighborhoods, workplaces, schools, streets, and our local governments as they function in diverse and democratic societies. This means our politics are messy, dirty, sometimes corrupt, with often self-serving politicians. But no matter how much we may hate politics, we are never exempt from it, even when we refuse to participate. In fact, the purpose of politics is to keep society functioning precisely when we don't agree with each other, like now. Music for this episode comes from the 1920s, an era whose music has become newly available in public domain. Song recordings and films from a century ago just entered the public domain on January 1st. For those unfamiliar with old music, the song you are listening to now is as American as Mom and Apple Pie. Singing in the Rain first appeared in the Hollywood Review of 1929, lyrics by Arthur Freed and music by Nacio Herb Brown. Welcome to the Minority Scholars Podcast. I'm your moderator, Lorena Trevino, and here I have with me
Timo Taiwo. I am a senior at Wooten High School.
And I'm Leila Khadimion. I'm a senior at Wooten High School as well.
And we are both the BSC presidents at our school.
Today I'll be interviewing them about the recent anti-Black and racist actions at their high school that have been occurring. The first question is anti-Black racism a problem at your school?
Is the sky blue? The problem is an understatement. It's become so normalized that you can't really escape it at this point. And a lot of people will think that it doesn't affect them or they're like not part of the problem or something like that. It affects everybody. Even if you're not Black, it affects us all either directly or indirectly. Mm-hmm. Timo?
Not only is it a problem, it is a part of the culture, and it is extremely normalized at our school to the point where people don't see it as a problem, mm-hmm. and it isn't recognized widely as an issue that needs to be solved.
Mm-hmm. Do you and other Black students feel safe and welcomed as you're talking about how this is part of the school culture?
Well, not only could I speak on my behalf, but a couple weeks ago, we had a BSC town hall where we had students write in and use adjectives to describe how they felt at Wooten. Mm-hmm. And we saw a lot of words ranging from
disgusted, embarrassed,
unwelcomed,
mm-hmm. Unsafe,
mm-hmm. isolated, mm-hmm. disjointed. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't just one or two words. It was a common theme that we saw amongst students. Mm-hmm. And so not only are students sharing that they feel unwelcome and safe, but it seems to be what a lot of students are feeling.
Mm-hmm. So not just Black students,
yes,
but schools at home?
Definitely, especially because up until BSU leadership has started to work more closely with admin and get and advocate for Black students on that level, a lot of students have just not reported issues of anti-Black racism, mm-hmm, because they felt like inaction was going to be the only result. And we see this not only at our school, but at other schools as well. People are just not saying anything because they don't feel like it's going to get done. And I think that that really reflects the culture of tolerance that has been kind of built at the in the Wooten community.
So you mentioned a lot of increasing anti-Black racism at Wooten. What are some specific examples or events that have been going on that made Black students feel unsafe at your school?
So a popular slogan at the rally was 1,000 pages, 1,000 wounds. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people don't know what that means. Even people within our school didn't know what had happened.
Really?
That kind of not necessarily like provoked the rally, but built up to the rally. Mm. And so last year, a freshman student, mm-hmm, printed out the N-word on 1,000 pieces of paper.
Wow.
Sent that print job mm-hmm to the library, where of course it was going to be found.
Mm-hmm.
And so a teacher found the print job and then unplugged the printer halfway through it and reported it to an administrator. 2 days later, a Black staff member finds it and plugs the printer back in, and all of a sudden, all these pages with the N-word just keep hurtling out of the printer. And you can imagine how traumatic that would have been. And it's like The teacher went to administration about it and told the principal directly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we found out that the administrator that was told 2 days before did nothing about it.
When the first teacher reported it.
Yes, exactly.
They didn't do anything.
Nothing.
Wow.
And so
I feel like the problem in our school is that this isn't an isolated incident. Mm-hmm. That incidents like this continue to occur. In the last, I want to say 2-3, just a couple of weeks of the end of last school year, we had six incidents of anti-Black hate, and that's within less than a month.
Six separate incidents?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's probably
that we know of.
That you know.
Yes, yeah, six that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people were vandalizing walls. People were writing the N-word on the bathroom wall. People,
wow,
were using it in the hallway, mm-hmm, in the classrooms. There have been plenty of instances where students have used the N-word in the classroom, and teachers have not disrupted it. Teachers have not acknowledged it.
They haven't reported it? Nothing.
At all. Students have even reported saying that they reported issues of anti-racism, of anti-Black racism. They reported incidents of racism and were told not to say anything in order to protect the other student or in order to not cause a big commotion about it, when of course, like, you can't just protect the person that's going to be, you can't just protect the persecutor because you don't want to cause a stir. That's exactly what needs to happen.
So basically saying they want to sweep it under the rug for the wrong reasons.
Absolutely.
I also want to say absolutely, and add on to that, when there have been other acts of hate against marginalized groups in our school,
mm-hmm,
the entire community is immediately notified and it is the talk of the school. You can't
really
go anywhere without students talking about what's going on and how this has impacted them. And while that's great, and while I love that students are able to comfortably share their experiences, this isn't the experience for every group at our school. When we had these six incidents on top of the printer incident at the end of last school year, I would say that 20% of our school knows what's going on.
Really?
When we had the rally, even though it was a countywide thing that was continuously advertised, students were confused, asking what's going on, what is this incident that students are referring to? And I had no idea that this was something continuously occurring in our school.
And not only in your school, but in many schools. Me personally, at our own high school at Walter Johnson, we also held an anti-racist rally in solidarity with Woon, along with 50 other high schools in the Montgomery County area. And I think from every single high school, there was a large majority of students that didn't know what was going on. And there was also not a lot of turnout because a lot of students didn't really care to hear what was going on. And that could be from also an indifference or a point of, well, administration didn't say anything, so it might not be a problem. Do you feel that's the way at your school?
Of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when we did the rally, there were people who, when we were going through the schools chanting, even when we were in the gym giving speeches, and mm-hmm. when we eventually led the rally to outside in the front of the school, mm-hmm. there were people going like, oh brother, not this, and oh, is this a protest going on or something? So it's like people don't take it seriously. Mm-hmm. And not only that, it's just people are not talking about it because anti-black racism has become so normalized to the point where it's like it's considered dark humor at this point. Wow. Instead of actual people being harmed. People mm-hmm. are harmed by this.
Yeah. It's an act of violence.
Right. It is an act of violence. And people are really struggling. Yeah. People are going through all sorts of mental health challenges. Mm-hmm. And, you know, students are ignored after requesting support, even by their teachers. Yeah. Teachers are persecutors
of racist actions.
Yes.
Against students as well.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And especially when those teachers are being tolerant, even if they're not committing the act of hate, if they are tolerant towards it, that
just
creates
letting it happen.
Right. That creates a sense of distrust. Mm. So how do you expect us to have trusted adults at the school when the adults aren't showing us that they can be trusted with these issues?
Exactly. And that also brings up my next question of how you went through every level of the school board and administration until you went all the way to the top. Can you talk about how that experience, how it wasn't just a jump, mm-hmm. but how you actually went through every level?
I'd like to start by saying I think that plays into why Wooten was centered during the anti-racism rally.
Exactly.
And like you touched on, we really did go through every level we could before we got to this point. When students encountered these situations, they would go to their counselor or report it to their administrator. And first of all, they would fail to report it to higher ups. And I think that's one thing that needs to be addressed, is that teachers and staff at all level need to be held accountable for failing to protect students. Yeah. And it feels as if when they are not protected, or sorry, when they do not act to protect students, they are instead being protected by a system that is put in place to help us, but instead it's acting against us. Mm-hmm. After students felt like they weren't being heard by counselors and administration, we took it upon ourselves to meet with our principal regularly. And while, once again, he was supportive, it wasn't enough. And we didn't see a lot of proactive action, which is really what we were looking for. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, we met with the cluster director of our school and even the director of compliance at the county center. Mm-hmm. And even after meeting with these officials and expressing our experiences and what we would like to see happen, we still felt like we weren't being heard. And instead of remaining docile, we decided that the next step was to go to the Board of Education. As I stated much earlier, I would recommend to any other student to talk to anybody higher, because mm-hmm. there's always somebody above that you can talk to. Yeah. And I say this from experience, you can't stop at not being heard.
Yeah. I also wanted to mention, we talked about this a bit earlier, but how a lot of counselors, students tried to come to talk to them. Were there any sort of counselors that tried to report to the higher-ups at all?
Yes. There are definitely a number of counselors and teachers across the school that are supportive, but the problem is there aren't enough. Mm-hmm. Majority of the staff that students feel comfortable talking to are staff of color. And unfortunately, they make up a small percentage of the staff at Boone and in Montgomery County.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's really hard for them to bear the brunt of the pain that students are feeling. And even if there are a couple of staff members that are a safe place for students, we still come across many other people in our day. It may be one or two teachers that I feel comfortable speaking to, but I still have six other classes to go to and six other teachers that are perpetuating microaggressions and hateful stereotypes and biases against not only me, but my classmates, my friends, the people that I interact with daily.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't count the number of times in history class when we've talked about the civil rights movement and suddenly everybody's head turns to you. I'm sure like that's an experience a lot of Black students have had.
Of course.
And it's just like when students are tokenized or when acts of hate are committed against them, we often find that teachers who are not those commonly trusted adults don't do anything. And like I said earlier, they sweep it under the rug in order to protect the person that did it when you just can't do that.
Exactly. You should be protecting the victim, not the perpetrator. Of course. Yeah.
And though the county has equity training that teachers are required to attend, I think it is nowhere near adequate and it's incredibly outdated. We've received feedback from other teachers that once again it's not engaging and that a lot of staff are not participating and are just there to say that they were there.
Yeah, just because they're required to be there but not really paying attention. That's what you're saying. Yeah, I did want to speak a little bit on that because as a Minority Scholars Program summer intern, we actually had a student-led diversity and equity training with teachers, and so many teachers and administrators came up to the students, you know, after the presentation saying that was one of the most engaging and so thoughtful like presentations I had been a part of, because there really is a difference between just being talked at and kind of zoning out and then seeing a student, like a young child, talking about the racism they've experienced in their school, which is supposed to be a safe place where they can come to learn and be welcomed and accepted. And you know, that really ties to the next question of how do you feel admin and central office, have they been proactive at addressing anti-Black racism at Wooten? It seems that they really haven't. Can you speak more on that?
I think that our past administration, for example, when I was a freshman and sophomore, our past administration, it just felt like they were not, it felt disingenuous a lot of the time, but since my junior year and my current senior year, especially working with our principal, he's always been very supportive. He comes to a lot of the big events that we attend, such as the town hall. When we went to testify at the school board in June, it was, he also sent his support. He couldn't be there physically, but he did send his support. We've been working very closely with them, and it has felt like things are improving, but there is still that gap between students and admin as far as trust goes, because a lot of students have just been met with, again, tolerance and inaction. So it makes it hard for them to believe that even though they are working hard to fix these issues, a lot of students don't feel like it's going to be any avail. They feel like it's all going to be in vain if they bring it to their attention. So it's almost like not wanting to get their hopes up, if that makes sense.
So do you believe the administration is more reactive than proactive?
I think that we still have a lot of work to do. Admin has definitely become a lot more supportive since we've taken sort of a more proactive stance on this. In the past, it has been more reactive than proactive, but I really feel like we're getting to the point where it's becoming more proactive.
And then the next question is, can you explain why you refuse to take part in the study circles? And if you could also explain to our listeners what study circles are.
So the purpose of the study circles was to give students in the wound community an opportunity and a chance to voice their experiences and work directly with the ILT, which stands for Instructional Leadership Team, as well as other administration and leaders in our community, to see where there are problems, where there are gaps and discrepancies in the way that students are being heard and how situations involving students have been responded to. And we were invited to a study circle. And the reason why we refused to take part was, I would say over the summer and over the past 2 years, we've worked with our administration to meet certain demands that we've requested on behalf of the Black population at Wooten. And one of those asks were to have a sort of study circle for Black students to share their experiences. And while we do acknowledge that the experiences of other groups are important and do need to be addressed as well, it kind of felt like we were being grouped together when our situation hasn't been grouped with others in the past, and it isn't grouped with others. While everything does need to be addressed, anti-Black racism has been particularly prevalent, and that was something that we wanted to see addressed in its entirety and by itself, sort of.
I agree. I think that because we've done so much work, not only at the school level, but we've also done work with county officials, it seems like all we're doing is a lot of talking and there's not a lot of action taking place. So we did ask to have a facilitated dialogue that was centered around Black issues. And like Timo said, other groups are important, and we're not here to say that we're more important, but our issues have been put at the back of the line for so long. It's time for us to be at the forefront like other groups. You can't have a double standard when it comes to people of marginalized groups, because that's just not fair. That's not equitable in the slightest. And so refusing to participate in the study circles was sort of an act of saying, we are done talking. We actually need to see something happen, and we won't be lumped in with other people.
And for me, that kind of ties back to, has admin and central office been proactive? Because while I feel like they have given a lot of effort and support, I would not say at all that they have been proactive, because it never feels like they have taken the time to get ahead of issues before we have to bring it up as students and say, this is what's going on and this is what we'd like to see. While, like I said, a lot of work has been done, I think that more can be done without us having to ask for it, because that is one of the things that we are seeing for other groups in our community and in our school, is that they receive a lot of care, attention, and support off rip. Like, it's without having to sit and say, this is what we need. And it kind of feels tedious and I can't even find the right word, but just as students, it feels kind of disheartening to have to go and say that this is what I want as a student to feel safe in this learning environment.
Especially because we are students. We have other obligations. I mean, we have, a lot of us have jobs. A lot of us have, you know, a bunch of extracurriculars. We're applying for colleges. We have families to, like, I know I have a family to take care of. We can't always be the adults in this situation when we're not even adults ourselves. We're having to make these adult decisions and having to come up with all these new ideas. And it feels like, why am I doing this? Why am I the one who has to come up with all of these plans? And it feels like we would really like admin to take more preventative measures instead of, you know, handling it when it happens. Make sure that it doesn't happen. Create a culture so that people understand what the punishments are for committing acts of racism, and teach people how to not be tolerant, how to call people out when they witness stuff like this. And you know, a lot of kids won't go to their counselors because they haven't built that sort of relationship and they don't have that level of trust. But even because other groups get it, even just a message or an email or a community message saying these resources are available, just bringing that to attention, it makes it feel more genuine, more personal. when you don't do that, it feels like the reactiveness is disingenuous at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and both of you very much touch on this next question of, like, what actions specifically do you want to see your admin and your counselors enact to make students feel more safe and more supported, specifically Black students at Wooten?
Harsher punishments. Not necessarily, you know, immediately expel anybody. No. But punishments that are and acts of, like, making sure that people know what the consequences are so that they take these things more seriously. Because we have people out here sending racist text messages about Black people being put in plantation groups. Mm-hmm. And these students, these children, are being mentioned by name. Mm-hmm. And so it's obviously somebody who knows them. And, you know, this is not happening in a vacuum. It's a nationwide issue, but what can we do in our community? We need to eliminate the idea that hate and bias and prejudice will be tolerated in our school. Mm-hmm. Especially if we want to come off as a school that embraces its diversity, that embraces the amount of people that come from different backgrounds in our school, and especially if we actually want to make students feel like they are safe in this building. Mm-hmm. Because it's a lot to say that we are a safe space, but we really do need to show it. And I think that we can do that through relationship building. Mm-hmm. Between students and administration, and even students and teachers or students and counselors. Mm-hmm. Just making sure that people know what resources they have and that consequences will ensue when you do commit these acts of violence. It is violence. It is. It's emotional violence. Mm-hmm. It's psychological violence. Yeah. Sometimes it's even physical violence. Mm-hmm. Of course, we would never hope that it gets to that point, but that is the reality.
Mm-hmm. So just being more public about punishments that perpetrators will face or should be facing.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And actually showing that, of course, we don't want to risk anybody's identity being revealed. We would never want that. There are all sorts of confidentialities, but just making sure that people know what consequences will happen when they commit these sort of acts.
So, like, a formalized list, like a steps in case. Yes. To be enacted. Mm-hmm.
Similarly to that, we have in the past actually written up an action plan, which we have shared with our administration, which had 4 steps of things that we would like to see, including increasing visibility and relationships with teachers and students. Mm-hmm.
Organizing a town hall, a school-wide town hall. Mm-hmm. About anti-racism and the effects of it. Mm-hmm. And education, really.
Yes. And this action plan, I would like to say, was written in March of 2023. So, yeah. two school years ago. Mm-hmm. Yes. And since then, even we have not received much effort back into implementing these into our school and mm-hmm. our school system. Even though it was written 2 school years ago, this is something that we've continuously brought up and brought forward, not just to our administration, but to central office officials. And it seems to be something that is continuously put on the back burner and not seen as a priority. We have been asked repeatedly what we would like to see from our schools, what we'd like to see from our county, and we have given them that. And even after that is presented to them, we are still asked what we'd like to see. Mm. And it just feels very redundant and like it's going in through one ear and out the other. Mm-hmm. And as a student, it makes us feel that even though we're never going to give up, that is not anything that is in our future, but it makes us sometimes feel like, what is the point of trying if people aren't going to put in the effort that they have said over and over again that they are willing to give to us?
That's mm-hmm. right. It's really mentally taxing. Yeah. It can be very draining. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you can even feel like physically lethargic.
Yeah.
And people, even outside of leadership, students are feeling it. students are feeling all of these negative emotions and, you know, having doubts and insecurities about their own identity, their own humanity. And it's not being amplified enough. People don't understand the personal effects that it has, which leads to a gap in empathy.
Yeah. So specifically for your asks and demands administration, you want them to be more proactive and implement an action plan for when acts of racism occur in your school, and you want them to actually fulfill their promises that they have been continuously breaking.
Correct.
So how did you want to implement a better race and equity training in your schools with your teachers?
Absolutely have students participating in leading those discussions and contributing to those discussions, because like they say, children are the future. But what about protecting us while we're still children? Why wait until we're adults to do something?
Yeah.
Or how about protecting us, you know, while we're still here? And so racism is evolving. Yeah. We are the younger generation. Mm-hmm. We know how it's evolving. We are experiencing how it's evolving. Yeah. And when you don't know how to combat those issues because you don't know how it's progressing and how it's changing, you don't know how to combat that.
Yeah.
Because you don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so while it's not always, we don't have to always shoulder the burden, but we can take a stance. And that's also that's the kind of advice that I'd give to students at other schools, to participate in any kind of facilitated dialogue that you can,
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to those sort of equity trainings, because they absolutely need to be reformed.
Exactly.
They're not tackling the issues that they need to be tackled. They're super disengaging.
Mm-hmm.
People are not actually learning. And education, I believe, is the root of gaining empathy.
Yeah. So just to recap, your demands and actions you want to see implemented. You mentioned you have an action plan that you have been bringing to the administration board and they haven't been enacting it.
Mm-hmm.
They've just been ignoring it. You want to make it more publicized. The punishments perpetrators of racist violence have gone through while also maintaining the privacy of their identity, but just rebuilding that foundation of trust between students, teachers, counselors, administration board, so they feel like they can come forward
mm-hmm.
to report any racist violence they have seen or have experienced towards them, and also to reform the diversity and racial equity training.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that this is not something that's going to happen overnight,
but
we have proven time and time again that we are willing to put in the effort
mm-hmm.
to do so, and we have a plethora of students, staff, administrators, counselors behind us willing to work towards it.
Mm-hmm.
We just need an outstretched hand from those above us
mm-hmm.
to really join together and combine our forces to make this happen.
Yeah.
I think Layla has also said this, but our county really prides itself on being diverse and equitable and having all these opportunities for kids. And all we want to do is see that students have a safe learning environment to reap the benefits of what they are so proud that we have.
Exactly. And for that safe learning environment, we don't want to put all the brunt on teachers of color to maintain that and to build that. We want diversity and equity training for all teachers. We want all teachers to be involved.
Precisely.
And the last question is, if students experience this at other schools, what advice do you have to give to them?
I think the primary advice that I could offer to students at other schools is to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk about issues with your friends or teachers that you feel safe with, but if you continue to discuss issues just within your community, often others don't know that there's a problem to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't start working towards a solution when the problem itself hasn't been addressed.
Exactly.
Another thing is, I hear a lot, I've already talked to a teacher, I've already talked to my administration, but just know that it does not end there. If you feel like you are not being heard by the people at your level, there's always somebody higher you can talk to.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I would personally say find people that you can rely on, because there is absolutely strength in numbers, and your community will always be your safety net. So either if it's people inside your community or if it's people outside your community that are allies, definitely speak with them, and also do not give up. Mm-hmm. Especially if you have the passion, absolutely utilize that. It's hard not to get emotional at times, but the minute that you break, they will see that as a, hold on, edit this part out because I don't know what to say. But I would absolutely say the minute that you give up is the minute you lose. Mm-hmm. So when you lose hope, that is when you lose the battle that you are fighting, because you cannot fight a battle unless if you are not confident that there will be some sort of outcome that is positive. Because of course we're never going to eliminate the issue of racism. People are always going to be biased, people are always going to be prejudiced, people will always be hateful. As long as there is good in this world, there will be hate, unfortunately. But our job is to combat that. And it's not your responsibility as a person of a marginalized group to educate those who benefit from the system, but you can help people educate themselves, and you can band with each other. Like I said, there's strength in numbers. So you really just need to find your community. And like Timo said, there's always going to be somebody above the person that you are bringing these issues to. There's always going to be a level higher. And if you need to, you go all the way to the top. Mm-hmm. Because people will not see you if they cannot hear you. Mm-hmm. So you need to use your voice, especially for those who cannot or don't feel brave enough to use their own voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also wanted to bring up as a possible piece of advice the anti-racist rally that you organized a few weeks ago. Did you want to talk more about that?
Mm-hmm. So the anti-racism rally we held was in partnership with other MSPs across our county. Mm-hmm. And that was really an example of speaking up. Mm-hmm. Not only were students speaking up, but they were able to show out in a physical form. And like Layla said, there are power in numbers. So having an opportunity for students to come together and show that they are really passionate for mitigating the racism that we are seeing in our county shows officials and our administration and people in central office that this is an issue that students are truly passionate about. Mm-hmm. Showing up in a physical form shows that this is something that we are not going to stop working for mm-hmm. and fighting for until we see the response that we deserve.
Yeah. Also demonstrating that this isn't an independent school issue like you've been mentioning, but it's all over high schools in Montgomery County, middle schools, elementary schools even. So it's definitely very important to speak about. And that is all the questions I have for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For this time.
Thank you.
That's all for this episode of I Hate Politics. I'm Lorena Treviño, a junior at Walter Johnson High School with Timo Taiwo and Leila Jadamin of Wooten High School. We are members of the Minority Scholars Program, an MCPS-wide effort to uplift the voices and concerns of marginalized students. I Hate Politics is produced by Sunil Dasgupta with support from University of Maryland, Baltimore County, and aims to stem the decline in local news by working with community voices. Dr. Dasgupta directs UMBC's political science program at the universities at Shady Grove and Montgomery County, where students can explore and learn about politics, government, and society close to home. Music for this episode comes from the 1920s, an era whose music has become newly available in public domain. This is a tune called Limehouse Blues by the Carl Felton Band. Usually, I Hate Politics features local music on the show. If you want to share your music on the show or know someone who might want to, please email producer@ihppod.org. I hope you will subscribe and share the podcast. Don't forget to tune in to the Tuesday morning news analyses. Have a meaningful Dr. Martin Luther King Day weekend.